Jill's on.
I'm gonna ask him about school.
Now we're here.
Hey, you're on.
Okay, I'm going to bring House Natural Resources to order. And LJ, if you would take roll call, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Gist.
Here.
Vice Chair Marler.
Here.
Representative
Malone.
Here.
Representative Jay Hinkle.
Here.
Representative Perry.
Excused.
Representative Miner.
Here.
Representative R. Knutson.
Here.
Representative Kohenauer.
Present.
Representative Vinton.
Here.
Representative Carlin.
Here.
Representative France.
Here.
Representative Fitzgerald.
Here.
Representative Weatherwax.
Excused.
Representative Walsh.
Here.
Chair Gunderson.
Here.
That is all, Mr. Chair.
Okay, looks like we have a quorum. The only problem is we don't have a bill sponsor yet, so let's just kind of... Oh, speaking of our bill sponsor. Okay, let's open up hearing on HB 289. Representative Oblender, if you want to open on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Greg Oblander. Last name is spelled O-B-L-A-N-D-E-R, and I represent House District 40, which is outside of Billings. So today I come before you to present House Bill number 289, and it's a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Notice Requirements for an Owner's Share of Costs to Develop an Oil and Gas Well and Amending Sections 82-11-202. This is modifying a bill that already exists for the pooling of interests within a spacing unit, and that is dictated by the Montana Board of Oil and Gas Conservation, which is the group that oversees all oil and gas activity in the state of Montana, and they are the ones that determine spacing unit sizes, pooling, as well as other board orders that come before them regarding oil and gas development and production within the state of Montana. This bill is relatively simple in that it is just trying to clarify some language that needs to be taken care of within this bill. If you look on page 1 down to line 21, it adds the word board, and that represents the Montana Board of Oil and Gas Conservation. So before board hearing, everything has to come before the board before things can be moved forward accordingly. The crux of the change or the amendment to this bill is on page 3, and if you'll look at line 19 on page 3, it clarifies that an owner is presumed to have refused to pay the owner's share of costs if the owner fails to pay or agree in writing to promptly pay their share, so their attributable share to that pooling unit, and share the cost after notice by the well operator of either, and then in I it says an acknowledgement in writing by the owner or by certified mail to the owner addressed to the owner's address of record in the office of the clerk and recorder of the county where the well is to be drilled or to the owner's address on file with the board. Again, that's the Board of Oil and Gas. And this notice must allow the owner 30 days to elect to pay the owner's share of costs as set forth in the notice requirements. So with that, I will stand aside, ready for questions, and turn it over to proponents.
Thank you, Representative Oblender, and proponents.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name's Alan Olson. I'm the executive director of the Montana Petroleum Association, and I'd like to thank Representative Oblander for carrying this bill. He doesn't represent just Billings. He represents Roundup as well. You've got to remember that. But pooling issues are really hard to explain. There's no doubt about that. It's very technical in nature. As the representative said, this is done through hearings before the Board of Oil and Gas. If you look at some of the struck out language in here, currently they have to give 30 days notice prior to the spud date of the well. Sometimes we don't have 30 days notice when the rig is going to get there. Sometimes the rig can show up 2 weeks after you give them notice. This still does guarantee 30 days notice of their if they want to participate in the well or not. Mr. Chairman, there's a couple other people here behind me that are very well versed in pooling. With that, I would like to ask to be excused. I've got a hearing up in House Energy.
Mr. Olson, that would be great. Thank you for your testimony, and we'll take more proponents.
Well, this is a pretty simple bill. I don't think I have a lot to say. Mr. Chairman, my name is Colby Branch. I'm a partner with the Crawley Fleck Law Firm out of Billings, Montana. Been an oil and gas attorney for 22 years, and before that I was a petroleum geologist up in north central Montana. The crux of this bill really is to remove a requirement that I never saw any reason for. There's really no reason to require be tied to the spud date of a well. It doesn't impact the working interest owners at all as to when the well is drilled. The important thing is that they get that 30-day notice in which to decide whether or not they want to elect to participate. This provision is not reflected in the laws of our neighboring states, Wyoming, North Dakota, and it has over the years generated a fair amount of controversy. So I see this amendment as just kind of removing a bone of contention. That's really all I have to say. I'm available for any questions. I'll do my best to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Branch. And we'll take the next proponent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Steve Durrett. That's D-U-R-R-E-T-T. I am recently retired from the oil and gas industry, and I serve on the Montana Board of Oil and Gas Conservation. Pending Senate confirmation, I'll be commencing my third term on the board. The reason for this, I characterize this as really closing a loophole that has been unfairly exploited by some people in the past that have chosen to use this 30-day prior to spud notification rule as a way to backdoor their way into a successful well. And this has come up in my tenure of the board half a dozen times. Every time it's been ruled against and shown to be without merit. It's a waste of the board's time, but more important to that, it's an undue burden on the operator who's drilling the well, because they have to come to the Board of Oil and Gas hearing, they have to defend themselves, and in most cases they don't have local personnel in Billings, so they have to travel their people to Billings, attend the hearing, and attend themselves. But the 30-day prior to notice is unreasonable and really unnecessary. It doesn't do anything to protect the mineral owners' rights. That the 30-day notice, they still have the 30-day notice. It's just really just, like I said, this unintended consequence of the way the language was drafted that has allowed, as Colby mentioned, some controversy to occur, and it really just is cleaning up a loophole is my characterization. But I'm happy to answer any questions as well.
Thank you, Mr. Durrett. Are there any more proponents in the House? Seeing none, John, are there any proponents online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is nobody currently online.
Thank you, John. Let's take opponents. Do we have any opponents in the House? Seeing none, John, do we have any opponents online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have no opponents online.
And thank you, John. Do we have any informational witnesses in the House? Seeing none, John, any online?
Mr. Chairman, there are no informational witnesses online.
Thank you. Let's open it up. Majority Leader Vinton, you have a question?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. For Mr. Durrett, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Durrett, I'm sure I could Google it, but it's more fun to ask you, what is a spud date, please?
Okay, yes, but that's true. Our industry is full of a lot of jargon. Spud is the commencement of drilling operations.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was an easy one.
Pro Tem Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could ask a question for Mr. Brandt, please.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Mr. Brandt, I too was going to ask for definition of a spud, but I also want you, for the record, to maybe define and give us an explanation of what participation in a well, what that means.
Sure. So to participate in a well means to pay for your respective share of the costs of drilling that well, completing the well, and producing the well. Generally speaking, there are two types of interests. There's the what's called the working interest in a well, and those are the lucky people that get to pay all the bills. And then there's a net revenue interest. So, for instance, if you have a 12.5% royalty on your oil and gas lease, a participating working interest owner will pay 100% of the costs, of all costs, and receive 87.5% of net revenues. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. It does.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions? Representative Miner.
Probably to Mr. Durrett or Mr. Grant. When you talk about pooling, I understand what pooling is, but is it determined how big an area it is, or what determines how big a pool is?
Yeah, it depends on the type of well that's being drilled, but there are statewide rules that exist that are for generic. It generally goes by the depth of the well. And what we've seen, of course, in the last 10 or 15 years with the horizontal wells now, typical spacing units will be 1,280 acres, two sections will be pooled together, and then all of the mineral owners within those two sections will participate in the well or wells that get drilled. Typically, 4 to 6 wells will get drilled in a horizontal wells will get drilled in a spacing unit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Durrett. Do we have any more questions from the panel? Representative Walsh.
Mr. Chairman, a question for Mr. Durrett.
Mr. Durrett.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Durrett, could you, in a Reader's Digest, kind of give us a sample of where this conflict, you said over the years, dozen or something like that, just so I kind of understand?
Yeah, I can give you an example of the most recent one. We had a company that operates in eastern Montana by the name of Kraken Resources, and they're one of the more active operators in the state, drilling Bakken wells in the eastern part of the state. They had a woman who was a mineral owner, landowner, who was completely non-responsive, wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't talk to him on the phone, wouldn't answer any letters, would refuse entry to anyone who tried to contact her. And so under the statute, a non-responsive mineral owner is deemed to be a non-participating owner. That's if you don't respond, in the affirmative, you're deemed to not participate. And and that was a case here. The well was drilled. Subsequently, the well ended up being a very, very good well. Someone came in and was able to approach that lady, purchase her mineral interest, come to the Board of Oil and Gas, and say that his interest was not properly noticed, and therefore he should be given the opportunity to participate in the well. Of course, the results of the well were at that time known, right? Nobody ever comes and wants to participate in a bad well. You know, my analogy is this: you're picking the horse after the race is over, right? And so that's an example of the kind of controversy that this has created.
Thank you, Mr. Durrett. Any more questions from the panel? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Konauer. Sorry about that, missed you.
That's okay. Mr. Chair, if I could follow up on that line of questioning with Mr. Durrett.
Mr. Durrett?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Durrett, and I'd just like to, so what was the outcome of that situation? Number one and number two, can you give us an idea of what the two different time frames look like, the 30 days before the spud date and this 30 days under this bill?
Yeah, and the outcome of that was the Board of Oil and Gas basically rejected the applicant and said, no, that is not appropriate, and they did not honor his request to be allowed to retroactively participate in the well. I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
If you could give us a time frame of what it looks like under the current law, and then what is being changed, right, so that we can get an idea of what that timing looks like.
Yeah, currently the statute reads that the notice has to be given 30 days prior to the spud of the well, which is the commencement of drilling operations. As Alan said when he first came up here, that's an unreasonable and unnecessary restriction. What this change in the language does is it still gives the owner 30 days to make their election. It just removes the condition that it has to be the 30 days prior to the well being commenced. So the owner still has 30 days to make their election. It's just the arbitrary and unnecessary limitation that it has to be 30 days within the spud date is being removed.
Mr. Chair, follow-up, please.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Durrett, just to follow up on that, I get that. So where does the 30 days now of this election time frame in the current bill, where is it going to take place in the timing of the well drilling?
Whenever it's 30 days, whenever the operator of the well notices the mineral owner. And that may or may not be before the spud date, and maybe after the spud date. In some cases, the landowner, because these things could be very complicated. You can imagine the fragmented mineral owners over 1,280 unit. Sometimes it's very difficult to track all these people down. And sometimes a drilling rig is available. You need to drill the well, even though you haven't finished all of the title work. And so in a case like that, the notice may actually come after the well's drilled, because it may take time to locate some of these people. But any owner still has 30 days to make their election.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Are there any more questions from the panel? Seeing none, Representative Oblander, would you like to close on your bill?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I apologize. I probably should explain some of the terminology used in oil and gas. It's got its own complete jargon to it, but it's been pretty well explained by the proponents here. One of the things, the question that was asked about the spud date and so forth, before the spud date ever happens, and the spud date is when they actually get a rig on site and they start making hole. Okay, before that happens, they have to do site work, preparation, all those types of things before the rig can move in. Well, a lot of times what happens is there may not be a rig available for a period of time, or there may be a rig available right now. And so a company will choose to go out and get that well going. They've invested a lot of geology work and in-house work to get ready to drill that well. If they can get on and get that done, as opposed to waiting a few months for a rig to be available, they like to do that. What this bill allows them to do is to go ahead and present and provide a 30-day notice. It doesn't tick just when the spud date. It could have spudded before then, and it gives them a chance to notify all of the people within that pooling or spacing unit. It'd be no different than if Chair Gunderson was one of the mineral owners, is the case that was given, and he had elected not to lease his mineral rights. But all of you leased your mineral rights to me, and I want to go ahead and I want to drill a well within that spacing unit that's been established by the Board of Oil and Gas. That's the first thing that happens. The Board of Oil and Gas has to provide approval for that to take place within the boundaries that they have. And so I then could come on, send him the 30-day notice, start drilling my well, and then based upon that, he gets his 30-day notice. He could choose to either come as a mineral owner at that point in time, not a working interest. Working interest is the companies that lease everybody else. He then could decide to come in and pay his share and actually have a percentage of that well, or he could lease it and get a royalty. This also provides that he would get a royalty if he doesn't lease. So it's kind of different language and terminology, but it's based on, it's not just a company go out and do that. The Montana Board of Oil and Gas Conservation determines what takes place. So the other thing is that mineral owners don't always own the surface. So in today's world, very few have both mineral rights and surface rights. So there's also some negotiation has to go with the surface owner, because you're going to come onto his property and disturb some stuff. So if that helps you at all, I hope it does. But this is a good bill. It's a minor change. It just allows things to happen in a fair fashion for everybody. And I would urge a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Olander. This closes the hearing on HB 289. And I do know that there's some a amendment. It hasn't been put in, so can we just put this one off for doing EA?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll convene Friday in the Senate room 303 for a joint House Senate hearing on SB 207. Maybe we can do it then. Okay. Is there any else, or anybody have anything for the good of the cause? If not, I'm going to adjourn.
Okay, here's some reminder.